Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Inside Out. Sherry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we were just asked, and we're here being interviewed by Kimberly Murphy, and she has a great radio program. Again, are you out there, Kim?
Oh, yes. We're here on the radio.
Tell everybody what radio program we're on tonight with you.
We're on Illuminations of Light Live tonight.
Wonderful.
Yes, and we're going to be actually doing the expo this weekend, the Conscious Life Expo on Saturday. Dr. Horowitz is going to be speaking at 2 p.m., and he's going to be speaking on his new book, The Prosperity Key of, actually, the book of 528, The Prosperity Key of Love. And it's an amazing book. Actually, if you want to check out the reviews and read press releases on it, you can go to thebookof528.com, get all the information on the book on there. And we're also going to be screening Pharma Whores at the Conscious Life Expo, and that's going to be at 8 p.m. that evening on Saturday. So we're going to be screening Pharma Whores, the Showtime Sting of Penn & Teller. If you're not familiar with it, you can go to pharmawhores.com. So two great things are going on this Saturday. So if you're in the L.A. area, come out to LAX Hilton and check us out. We're going to be we're going to have a booth there, too. So it's booth 85A+. And we have more things coming up for the year. We're going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Both Dr. Horowitz and I are going to be sharing a platform there, and that's going to be in San Francisco. And we're also going to be in Toronto at the Health Expo. So we've had a very, very busy week, haven't we, Dr. Horowitz?
Sure have. Kimberly, please, let's hear from you. What's your week been like?
My week has been absolutely hectic and insane trying to get to the expo. We're all flying in from Colorado and California, so Northern California. So I have been busily coordinating people, and we've got some other fantastic keynote speakers who will be joining us at the expo. We are going to be airing live between 1 and 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from the expo, so we'll have an opportunity to share with everybody what has been going on, and hopefully give them an opportunity to speak with some of the keynotes themselves. So I have been a big fan of working with frequencies for years now. And in fact, I recently did a blog referencing solfeggios and working with them for meditative purposes. So I'm really curious, Dr. Horowitz, how did you come to discover all of this? And what have you found in your personal research and experience with regard to these frequency working?
Well, Kimberly, the first time I was introduced to this was in 1998, early in 98, when Dr. Joseph Poleo had been praying for me to come to meet him. And I was praying for the Achilles heel of the Illuminati, the devil doers who actually had killed my mother, and I didn't even know it at the time, through contaminated vaccinations. And Joey had gotten a vision from Jesus. He had prayed to Jesus for the original solfeggio tones because he heard about them. He knew that the hymn to St. John the Baptist was sung to the six original solfeggio tones. But he, as a Catholic, he even went to his highest level officials and they wouldn't give it the information. So he prayed to Jesus, and Jesus actually came, according to Joey's story, and gave him the information. It was in the Book of Numbers. It's a code in the Book of Numbers, chapter 7, verses 12 through 83 in the Book of Numbers, where you can see, as you can do it, you don't need a computer, 396-417-528. Those are the first three solfeggio tones, and the other ones follow in a repeating pattern. So that's how I got it. I actually prayed for the Achilles heel when Joey was praying for me and to come, and he heard me on Art Bell's show on Coast to Coast, and that's where he decided that I was the guy to bring the information to the world. And I guess like a fool, resisted it, resented it, actually didn't have the time for it, and ultimately, you know, it kept falling back in my lap, and that's how I got started in it. And at the time when he delivered it to me, I saw that it was very important. Again, I didn't have a lot of time. I was working on other projects, but I took on the project, and it was as though an angel had come. And because I prayed to the Creator, I said, listen, I don't have the time for this. I said, if you really want me to do this, you've got to help me. And so it was as that that point where I had at least one, possibly two angels stationed with me, and I can tell you that I popped the book out called Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse in about 6 months, and it took me, same size book, about 3 years to do the one before that. So it was something that was amazing to me. And so personally, that's what I started experiencing. I started to experience what 528 is. It's the ut re mi, the mira gestorum note. It's the third note of the original musical scale. Is miracles. It's a miracle six. And as soon as I realized that it was the miracle six, or MI6, I knew British Secret Service had been involved in it, and that's how they got their name. And I realized that the information had been suppressed, and I therefore reasoned that if they suppressed it, that it must be very valuable. And I just began to research it, and a lot of incredible things happened when we started. When Joey first started to use the tones and we tuned guitars to them, you know, you tune the guitar to 528, and it's in such resonance, and the phase locking to the universe, because we didn't know at the time that it was one of the major creative frequencies. Now, with the Book of 528, we know it's the heart of everything. But we tuned our guitars to it, and you walk away, and suddenly the guitar would play by itself. The resonance and the harmonics were just, like, extraordinary. Lots of things happened. Joey's, we happened to play some music, and Joey's garage door was going wild. And, you know, there was just been a lot of funny stories that, you have, and, you know, we've got wonderful testimonials. I was with Jonathan Goldman today, who called me up after we published the book, and he says, "Len, you published six frequencies. Aren't there nine?" And that's a bright guy, because we didn't talk about the nines being completion, and six left three, and I didn't. And I had the three by intuition. I intuited them. Joey never gave them to me, but I just saw them on a circle, and I realized that there were nine, and I followed the pattern and got the full nine frequencies that became known as the perfect circle of sound. And Jonathan produced this magnificent healing CD. It's called Holy Harmony. And Jonathan wants everybody to know, because I was with him today, that there's going to be the World Sound Healing Day is coming up Monday, the 14th, and you can go online to his websites and thesacredtemple.org, where we're all going to be chanting for 10 minutes on Monday in the Ha sound, and the Ha, the Aloha, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yehovah, the Prana, the breath of Ha-Ha-Ha. All of that is in 528. You know, it's just amazing what we're now experiencing and finding with the research, as well as our own, you know, observations.
You know, I find it really interesting, Dr. Horowitz, because one of the first places that I got exposed to the concept of Hebrew lettering with sounds and correlating in numerologically was with some of the work that Greg Braden and his researchers were doing on the God Code.
Wonderful
really
work.
I was just completely fascinated. So when I started reading through your book and reading some of what you had to say as far as, you know, the satanic groups and their correlations and tie-ins to this, was really fascinating. So I kind of want to touch on, when we're talking about attracting miracles, what universal laws are we using, and should this be combined with anything else to gain complete maximum effects? What would some of the warnings or disclaimers be when we're working with this stuff, if any?
Yeah, great questions. The first thing is that heartfelt, loving intention, faithful prayer is where it's at. Those two things, those two technologies, actually, and I cover this heavily in the new book, the Book of 528, Prosperity Key of Love, because faith is so vitally important, because it's like the contract between you and the creator, the source. And everything is administered, all creation and manifestation in this physical reality is manifested and administered via musical mathematics. And so word is sound, sound is frequencies, that's math. And so your lips and your prayers are vitally important as a creative technology, but there's one element that's most, even more important than your lips, and that's your heart. And your heart is the place, it's the seat of faith. It's the place where love really resonates. It's the place where your bravery resonates and joy resonates. And so that heart is actually tuned to 528. You know, the chakra system, the heart chakra is this kind of like greenish-yellow color, just like the botanical world has selected chlorophyll because it's resonating in 528. And that's the same for the heart chakra, and that is the place where you establish a relationship, and that relationship is based on 528 frequency between your heart and the Creator's heart. And it's kind of like you can think of it as a radio signal. When you're listening to a radio AM FM station, you're tuned to a certain dial, like 99.6. And if you go to 99.7, that's only one-tenth of a hertz off, you lose the signal. You get static. But if you're on 528 and you're in that faithful, prayerful, loving, intending mode to connect with Creator and manifest the miracle just for the sake of the empathy and the joy and the harmony and the blessedness of the act, that's, I think, the critical elements for being Jesus-like. You're in love. You're in your power. Your power resides in your heart. It's connected to God. You're therefore a humble vessel that is simply intending to have a miraculous, blessed outcome. And I believe that those are the ingredients for miracles.
So in any of your work, are you working with colors in addition to working with the toning and the singing and that kind of stuff?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the understanding, again, we're bringing some great revelations through with the book of 528 in that colors come from sound, and for each frequency there is a color, and every chakra that you're working with in Oriental medicine, you're balancing, and you're basically each recognizing it as a color, but the sounds are the most important thing. If you were now, based on the knowledge that we've really recently acquired fully, if you want to optimize your therapeutic setting, you use color and sound, and you use the human voice. You wouldn't use machines even. The most powerful thing that I can think of even, and I've been saying it for years, and I felt it intuitively, and I had some evidence for it, but I really didn't have it, you know, put to bed. And now with the book of 528, you can put the argument to bed. You really don't need the machines. You don't need the pills. You don't need anything when you're really in the flow. You're in that miraculous 528 hertz communion, that divine human communion that's in your heart, and that's, you're in your power seat then, or you're in the blessed Creator's power seat, and you're just like letting it flow. Then the healing, if you take your voice and you chime and you sing to a, you know, the colors that you can render, but you know, you can take a 528 tuning fork, you can get one of those at healthyworldstore.com, and then you can actually have a greenish-yellow light on in a room in the therapy center, and you can literally do what we're planning to do with Jonathan's World Sound Healing Day on Monday, is basically chant. And with your heartfelt, loving intention, it doesn't have to be a fancy and wonderful, you know, complete prayer that you have to sing. At this point, you can just intend having a loving intention of a chant like ha, you know, the ha or ya, you know, some standard pitch or tone that you make that's harmonic to 5-8, and that is really, I think, the most powerful thing that can create healing.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's really phenomenal, the work of Tony and bringing that in to the energy of oneness and that energy of love that you're talking about and being in that flow. You know, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier with the frequency work. I don't know if you have noticed in your experience in working with this, do you get like kind of dimensional alterations sometimes when you're just really working with this and you really get into the flow? Because what I find is I feel like I'm in the flow, but I'm running like a salmon against the stream because everything else around me is having difficulty catching up with wearing out vibrationally. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What was your question? Let me see if I understand it correctly. Was it, do I feel when we're engaged in this kind of music and experience, is it a different kinesthetic sensation that's coming into my body and emotions? Is that the question?
Yes, yes. What physical or emotional or spiritual experiences are you having when you're working with this, and how is that affecting you in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and the answer is yes, there is a perceptual difference. And, you know, for years, from the time I was young, I would get this strange thing, and I never talked about it before. I thought there was something wrong with me, and it was just kind of like a rush, like a vibration within my body, and you know, I can't think of it as anything else other than what is described as what's called frisson, F-R-I-S-S-O-N, is the word for it that's used in musicology. That is this feeling of energy flowing up your spine like a kundalini rush, and your horripilations, your skin goes into the goose bumps, that's called horripilation, and you just feel ecstatic. And the frisson is actually a component of what in musicology is called ecstatic listening. And so that state that you're talking about, I have been feeling far more comfortable with, you know, in my old age here, and realizing that I'll bet you a lot of people are feeling the same way, intimidated about talking about it, not knowing what it is, but it's an energy, and it's a very special, I think, blessing and anointing of divine love and this force that straightens everything out. Because energy, again, when you think of love, it's a warm, fuzzy feeling you get in your heart when you're in love, but actually, it's a feeling that has a resonance energy. So if it's energetic, it's spirit. It's a spiritual blessing, and then that has a vibration. And I think that that is what I experience. I mean, I think that when you're really, truly making love and you're totally into the loving act, you get there. I think that when musicians and vocalists are totally in their hearts and their voices are registered and they're in the flow, they get there. I think, you know, a lot of different artists get there. And I think many scientists, when they have the aha moments, they get there. So I think, yes, to answer your question, yes, I feel it. I'm not quite, I'm not totally into it as comfortable as I probably would be, and I think that when we die, I think that that's one of the things that happens. I think that we just go with this vibration that takes us out into a divine communion, because I'm now more clear than ever that the source of this energy is from the Creator's heart, and it's actually being transmitted via a musical mathematical matrix that has 528 at its heart, at its center. So you're talking about the heart of the matrix is the heart of the Creator. It's the heart of the rainbow, greenish-yellow. It's the heart of your heart. It's everything. It's the heart of everything, because as above, so below. And I think that that has this this resonance energy frequency that we're experiencing.
I you know, the frequencies for me have even changed the color of the sky in the last week. I go outside and it's like a bright white now. It's not a yellow. Where it should be ambers, it's actually a salmon pink. And it changes. It's constantly changing. It's not the same. And I've had a lot of people say that they can feel those energies for sure, making those shifts. But I do want to get back. Let's talk more about the book. What can people expect from this book? It seems to be really different than your past book. And it seems like very strongly, really, that you've gone through a really big personal shift in reading this book. It's a more heartfelt, not the heart forward.
Well, yeah, I think that I have been going through lots of shifts, and I appreciate them greatly. I'm humbled, totally blown out, humbled by having been selected somewhere, somehow, to be the bearer of this magnificent news. The book, one of the things that people can expect is that they're going to really feel God. They're going to feel the glory and the power and the revelation of the master conductor, the master composer of the universal orchestra that's singing us into existence at every nano instant. That's how it operates. That's how the Creator operates. And the intimate connection through revelation is very apparent in this book. One of the things, for example, that the book has in it is that your, and this is online now, we just posted this today, it just went up today, and that's a great blessing for everyone. I know we have a lot of people listening tonight. We're on two networks tonight. We're on BBS Radio and our normal listening audience. I'm sure we'll be happy to hear that the website, the bookof528.com is up, and there's a press room, and you can see in the graphics to the press release that just went out, if you're not a member of healthyworldstore.com, or if you're not a Healthy World affiliate, you should join healthyworldaffiliates.com, go to Healthy World Affiliates, join up, sign up for the newsletter, and then we send you out about an hour ago, we sent out word that this book has just been put online and is available in an ebook format for $9.98, which is just a great, great blessing. And that the image that you'll see if you go onto the press page for the journalists, we posted accompanying the press release and the backgrounder to give you a background in what this book is and what it's meant to me. You have there the crop circle that occurred on the 21st of June 2009 when we had Live H2O Concert for the Living Water. And the crop circle that formed had two sets of yin-yang symbols. And you can see the image of it. And the yin-yang symbols occurred in these like round circles, whole notes that were placed in the farmer's field along the tracks as though it was a musical staff. And so it was a completely musical acknowledgement from, you know, God knows where. And the 528, when you understand the mathematics now that you're going to learn in the book of 528, you realize that the yin-yang symbol itself is all about 528 and love. So really, 528 is the love constant. It's the universal love constant of the universe, just like phi and pi. You'll learn about how there would not be phi, which is a universal constant. You'd have no physics. You'd have no existence without 528. There's 5,280 feet in a measured mile because of 528. Anyway, I've been talking a lot. Why don't you have Sherry answer some questions?
Okay. Sherry, why don't you share with everybody your contribution to the book, because you actually helped in the book too, didn't you?
Yes, I wrote the foreword to the book. And not only that, but I guess I inspire Dr. Horowitz in some ways as well. Is that true?
That's true. You are a great inspiration, Sherry, and I really want to acknowledge you. You've really done a lot for me in looking at what love is, and really it's come at a perfect time in looking at these divine revelations and the fundamental essence of it is love. You know, I think of Sherry. Sherry has been incredible. I look at Sherry as like a Saint Francis. I've never seen anybody or never met anyone who every animal, whether it's a bird, whether it's a dog or a cat, or whether it's a giraffe at a zoo, you know, can pick up the love that radiates from you, Sherry. And I think that that's really profound. And I think it's totally perfect that you're from Philadelphia at a time when the sixth angel from Philadelphia is coming and talking about how humanity needs to learn love.
Well, thank you for that, and you've been a great inspiration to me as well. I mean, you know, the work that you're doing in the world is not like anybody else's. You actually touch the dark side, and you expose them, and then you tell everybody the solution. You explain, hey, you know, we can get out of this mess, rather than just, you know, giving everybody the bad news. You really do have the perfect solutions for the world's problems and the planet's problems, and 528, I believe, is the solution. I believe if everybody would start playing 528, music and permeating the air with that music, then things would change. We would have a different vibration going on. There wouldn't be people against each other. We would see each other more like brothers and sisters. And I think that, you know, your work is amazing. So hats off to you, Dr. Horowitz.
Thank you, Sherry. You know, and Sherry's been very instrumental in administering to the challenges with 528 Records. You know, I-528 Tunes now has the capacity to transpose music into this 528 frequency from the standard tuning. So any musician listening, or even people who just enjoy music and have a large music library, if you go to I-528Tunes.com, you can transpose it all. And if you're a musician, you can create albums with what you've already done in the transpositions, and then you get a 60% royalty. We chose to actually give musicians more than a standard royalty in the industry because we feel that this is a collaboration, and it's all by donation. So, you know, it's just a wonderful thing that, you know, I'm working with Sherry Kane, who's herself a very, very excellent investigative journalist. And like myself, you know, looking at the dark side is not even particularly frightening for us anymore. I mean, we've looked at the worst of the worst, I think, and we've written about the worst of the worst. And my philosophy has been, you can't have optimal enlightenment. And this is a real kind of like a knock against New Agers, because, you know, the New Agers just, they don't want to think about this. It's too negative for them to confront the CIA or vaccines or looking at the genocide. So they say, oh, don't tell me about that. But, you know, the reality is you can't have optimal enlightenment unless you come to terms with the darkness.
And also, besides, for anybody, as conscious as we all are or believe that we are, we have people around us dying every day that are addicted to pharmaceuticals. We know somebody. We're related to somebody. There's somebody that we know that's in trouble.
Yeah, and we're all in this together. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all part of the one. And it's got to be all of us coming together and raising our voices and saying, hey, the emperor's got no clothes, and we've got the clothes. We've got the healing. healing. It's kind of like Jesus, you know. He had it all handled, and he wasn't popular in some circles, but the general population adored him and just was blown out by the miracles that he rendered. That's what we now have. And the book 528 is one of the things that, and Sherry, you wrote this in the wonderful review that you published in the journal Medical Veritas. And again, that's, you can read that, folks, if you go to the website that I mentioned. The book of 528.com has the review of the book that Sherry did. And you mentioned that, and it was a very good perception, that we're exposing the Illuminati's most, their top trade secrets, because it's like what we talked about earlier, Kimberly, is the mathematics of six, you know, the manifestation of six. And we were talking about that with Jonathan Goldman today on this other program from the UK, where you look at the number six, which really is the number that 528 resolves to. If you take 5 plus 2 is 7, plus 8 is 15, and then you add the 1 and the 5. That's how they do it in numerology, but it's based on ancient mystery school mathematics like Pythagorean mystery school math. Da Vinci was into it, Aristotle, all of the greats, Plato, they all understood this. And so you look at the number 6, and it is spiraling down from heaven into the wholeness of earth. That's the image of it, and that's what it does. That's why 666, the mark of the beast, hey, that's not what the Christian community thinks it is. They're all thinking that that's the sign of the devil, because Revelation 13:18 gives us a riddle, and by the grace of the Creator, I've solved the riddle. It deals with the alphanumerics of language, that for every letter there's a number, and that's why to solve the riddle, you needed the alphanumeric code of the Illuminati. That's the answer to my prayer, because when Joey gave me the original solfeggio scale and he shared with me the alphanumerics of the English language, that was the answer to my prayer, because I realized, for example, that 666 is Kissinger. It's Kissinger who is primarily responsible for the biological as well as nuclear weapons that are the most riskiest weapons on the face of the planet. And so the bottom line, I mean, there's a lot of information here, but the fundamental reality is that the numbers are being used. Like 666 is a wealth manifesting number. And the comment that Sherry, you made in the review is that we've exposed the Illuminati's top secret trade secrets, including the manifestation of wealth through the secreting and the manipulation and the exclusive use that they have had. So in other words, we're leveling the playing field for the massive transfer of wealth on this planet that was prophesied. And that's a very interesting thing, too. When you really look at what I've been blessed to do with the Book of 528 is fulfill Bible prophecy, big time. This is 528 we're heralding now. It is the key to the house of David that opens the doors that no man can close and closes the doors that no man can open. Those are spiritual portals, primarily to the heart. It's been the heart that's been suppressed by the egoic mind. And you know, we even now have the music, and there's a large part of, again, getting back to your question about what can people expect to get in the Book of 528, they're going to get how destructive the music is that we're listening to. Because we talked about
it. Yeah, you actually have a whole chapter on hook control through 440 hertz tuning.
Right. Yeah, so what's your experience with, you know, these kinds of standard tunings and the music that's on the radio today? What's your experience of that?
I can't stand a lot of the new music, but, you know, a lot of the indie stuff and a lot of the alternative I can really get into. I love what they're working with. you know, the thrash metal and that kind of stuff was just super angry. And you can just see it in our kids today. You can just see it. They're all angry, and then they're disrespectful, and they're, you know, they're out there doing stuff like they really shouldn't be doing. It's not, it's more of a self-sabotaging rather than a building, you know, a constructive use of the energy.
Well, right now, the New World Order has a whole agenda going on. They've actually changed their agenda around to, well, haven't changed it, but have put it in a different direction, starting with Obama and now with what they're doing, because already people were hating the government. Now they really want them to hate the government. They're going to say, look, you know, there's nothing really going on. America's becoming a weak country. Let's all hate America now so we can all want a one-world government or a new world order, a one-world banking system. So everybody's waiting for that now because, and then the music that you listen to, the hip-hop music, a lot of it is a lot of angry music coming out of it. It's mostly against the government. We watched it on the Super Bowl the other day, the angry musicians. They were singing. You remember listening to the words. It was almost like punk rock words coming out of their mouth. Anarchy. And so...
You know, the interesting thing about what you mentioned, Kimberly, about things are degenerating, and that's exactly what it is in this music and the whole political agenda. It's the controlled chaos. It's managed chaos. And new order out of chaos is what the agenda is. And Sherry's right. Over the last 2 or 3 months, the mainstream media has begun to target heavily America.
Call again later.
Hi, folks. This is Len Horowitz back with you in the Insider. We've been disconnected. We've been trying to get back to Kimberly for the other show. I'm going to have to pass this over to Sherry Kane, who's more in control of the board here. So let Sherry handle
it. Hold on a second, folks. I'll be right with you. Hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to VBS Radio. We're having some technical difficulties this evening. We're supposed to be connecting with another station, and we seem to be disconnected from that other station right now. Are you here, Dr. Horowitz?
Hi, Sherry. Yes, I'm here.
So for some reason, we're having trouble connecting back to that other station. I don't know what's going on, but we got disconnected from them.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, one of those, I guess... perfect, right? And the Creator's universe has got to be for a reason, right? So, we were talking about the degeneration that's basically been taking place, and I think that's wonderful to be able to recognize that that it's going down. That, and that's been a shift for me personally. I think I look at the revelations in the Book of 528, where you see how even my own life. And I'm sure you can share from your experience, too, what it has been for you. But for me, I kind of look back as some prayers that I made when I was a child, and those prayers are being fulfilled by this book and the revelations divine that are... Oh, gee whiz, we have another busy signal there. Oh, it's gone. So the divine revelations that make me feel far more intimate with Source, with the Creator, with the love, with the way that the universe is constructed. There's a chapter in the Book of 528 that deals with mathematical probabilities, because again, the Creator's language is math, so that if you can use math and understand math and its effects on language and creation, then you look at how traditionally science deals with statistics and probability. And that forms relationships that you can say certified, it's scientifically proven, there's a relationship between X and Y. And so there's a chapter that deals with probability in the context of our destinies, living our destinies, fulfilling the destinies. And it makes sense, because when you think about how science today can predict exactly where, let's say, planet Earth is going to be in its orbit around the sun at a certain date. Well, if you can do that, why can't you predict kind of like what, where a human being is going to be if you're God? In other words, if you're God, if you're in control of the musical mathematical matrix and everything is laid out by the law, the word is the law, the math is the real fundamental law because word is based on sound, as I mentioned, and sound is based on math. And so it's really a mathematical matrix that forms the universe. Yes, there are other dimensions that the angels fare in, and there's other probably dimensions beyond that. But physicists say that there's at least 11 dimensions. I suspect strongly there's about 36. And so the concept that the Creator has the capacity to know all of the math. In other words, think of a brain or a genius that is got supercomputers capable of absolutely following every single one of the 36 parallel realities, and that, yeah, where the angels are going, that's one of the computers, and where we the people are going, that's another computer. And so the concept that that Creator, just like it says in the Bible, knew us before we were born and knows us after we pass on. And so this concept has given me a far deeper faith and this concept that I'm living my destiny. You're living your destiny. Every one of you listening, you're actually living your destiny. And the question becomes, are you choosing your destiny? Or are you resisting the blessings and the anointings and the giftings? And that's where we, the people, get into trouble because we've taken on other people's agendas. We've taken on a culture. The mindset of the culture is that we've got to basically listen to the media. We receive our models from the media. We feel jealousy. We feel competition. We feel all these pressures. We feel fear and loss, and we have loss of self-esteem. We don't honor ourselves anymore. We get into what you're an expert in. Maybe you can comment a bit, Sherry, on this concept of self-loathing and the psychosociology. You know, the way we think and the way we act with each other interpersonally is based largely on, do we love ourselves? And the whole issue here is coming to love.
Right. And a lot of it stems from our childhood. It stems from somebody who, you know, that affected us while we were, whether it was good or bad, a guardian, a stepmother, mother, father, uncle, somebody in your life, and then relating that with how you see the rest of the world and how you, that affects all of your other relationships. Like if the woman who had blonde hair was really nice to you, or, you know, or the woman who had blonde hair was really mean to you. You know, certain things can affect the way we see ourselves. If you personally don't like something about yourself, but, you know, wish that you had something that somebody else had, then that there can come into self-loathing can come into that with you, and you can start to resent yourself.
And that's, now you begin to bring into this concept of self-loathing. So you've got self-love, and the Creator loves you. The self that the Creator's created, and, you know, that you have the capacity to choose and to view this created and Creator as doing a love dance virtually. Mm-hmm. And that the concept that you hate yourself because you've been rejected or you've been traumatized and beaten, mm-hmm, all of those types of things create the culture of manipulation and enslavement.
But then again, they make you who you are. So if you were like the person that was very, very popular in school, maybe then you wouldn't be doing certain things in your life now. Or if you, you know, were somebody who had a good parents, then maybe you would be doing something better in your life. Or somebody who had worse parents would be doing something different. It puts us on different paths. And so those paths, they're directed. If we do believe that these paths are directed, we have a choice, but we also have the direction of the path.
Well, see, that's one of the chapters in the book of 528 lays out the thesis. It's a theory, but it's supported by a lot of evidence now, that our lives are destined. That, yeah, I know we had a choice, or, you know, between one person, let's say a spouse versus somebody else, you know, that we had a affinity for, let's say in college, and then you married somebody else, and you look back and you wonder whether I did the right thing in my life. I believe, based on the evidence that I'm looking at now, is that every single choice that you made in the big picture was the right choice. And the lessons that were learned, it's kind of like an airplane. Every second an airplane flies, it's actually off course. It's off course like 90% of the time between two places. And what gets it to get to the destination is it's correcting constantly. It's re-choosing the direction that it's going. And I think that that's an important concept in relation to 528, in relation to the final outcome, which is peace on earth, it's goodwill to men and women. It is this brotherhood, sisterhood, where we're living in harmony with not only each other, but with nature, and it's sustainable, where we have 1,000 years of world peace, where we don't compete, we collaborate. Where we don't conduct war, we have peace meetings and negotiations and finally resolutions. This is the kind of world that we have to envision because the book of 528 is so compelling. It's so clear. 1 and 1 equals 2. And it creates, this book has created now the challenge to the worlds of science and religion to come to terms. They have to come to God. They have to, in other words, come to explain to all of their members, all their followers, all, you know, you can look at the religions as a cult. You can look at science as a cult. From my perspective, it's all pagan. It's all a falsehood, and there's a lot of doctrines and dogmas. You know, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I love the Bible. But the reality is that the doctrines and the dogmas have done exactly what Jesus have said, because he said that beware of the traditions of men. It makes the word to no avail. It makes the truth to no avail. You can't come to the full truth when you have in your head a false doctrine. And so the book of 528 now has such stunning revelation because it's really from God. It is exactly like the book of Revelation and Isaiah 22:22 talks about, that the key to the house of David is going to open up doors that no man can close, and close doors that no man can open. And the reality is that the doors are being closed on the Illuminati, and they can't help themselves. They've got to go through, I mean, and again, part of the book explains why it is, because evil is part of God's plan. Evil is part of 741, which is one of the frequencies. This F sharp is actually 741. It's called the devil's tone in relation to love, 528. And so it is natural that the Illuminati does what they're doing. It's natural, and it's part of the plan that they're going to kill about 6 billion people off this planet through being stupid and listening to the propaganda, from the vaccinations to the medical intoxication.
And there's spokespeople like Bill Gates actually say it.
yeah, that's right. Bill Gates, by the way, folks, Bill Gates came out in the last few days, I understand, and said that we are killing people by telling people what the risks of vaccinations are. So we shouldn't be telling you how deadly vaccinations are, because we might murder you by spreading that knowledge, according to Bill Gates.
No, we'll hurt his agenda.
Yeah, he's putting a lot of money in and faith into killing a lot of people. But at any rate, the bottom line for me is, when you read the book 528, 28, you're going to have very similar changes happen for you that it's happened for me, because it came from a divine source. And I believe, again, this angel from Philadelphia. And folks, the book starts, my preface begins, I'll show you, it begins with looking at the word itself of phi, P-H-I, it's a universal constant. 528 is critical for it, and the pH was the beginning of physics. PH, physics, was Aristotle's book back in the 3rd century B.C. It started science. That was the first book that created what we now have as a culture of science. That was called physics by Aristotle. And the word starts with the phi symbol, which is like a circle with a straight line running up and down through the center of it. That's the phi symbol. It's a universal constant. The new phi, by the way, that the mathematical world and science world is using is not accurate. Another thing that the Book of 528 does is it solves the Pythagorean comma, the urgent crisis, it's called, in math and in science, because you notice the calendars, you know, you got a leap year, you got to balance the calendar, you got to have, you know, all of this craziness where you've got time, daylight savings, and this, that. Things are irrational. There are irrational numbers. If you've gotten into mathematics and you grew up and you realize, hey, what's the difference between rational numbers and irrational numbers? Well, the whole numbers and the whole number ratios of the way that the Creator works is different from man. The Creator doesn't miss a beat. It's men and our systems, including the mathematics and the timekeeping and the time-space measurement, that is off. And so in the Book of 528, you're going to get a whole education as to what is God's measuring scales. What's the Creator's way that the Creator put it together, that if we lived like that and we scheduled ourselves according to the Creator's clock, which is by nature, you know, that's a different culture. And that's a different outcome, and it's a lot more peaceful, and it's a lot healthier, and ultimately, the Illuminati doesn't like it, because you've then been given everything that the Creator had meant for you to have from the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sherry, I know we're just about out of time here.
Yes, we're totally out of time, so... It's 10, actually. It's 10 o'clock here.
Okay. Well, so, folks, let me thank our sponsors tonight. Go to healthyworldstore.com. Get yourself the Book of 528. And you can go to read up about it. Read Sherry's wonderful book review at thebookof528.com. It's new today. Just went up today. And then spread the information. It's on ebook now. You can download it with a PDF file. It's about 430-some pages, I think it is. So that's a bargain. There's 60 figures, so graphics. It's got a lot of figures, and it's got 9 tables. So 6-9, there's your yin-yang symbol. And that was done by intention and as a blessing. You're going to have your mind blown when you see the relationship between 528 and your own existence right here, right now on planet Earth. Love you, folks. Thanks for listening to The Insight Hour.
Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week. Same time, BBS Radio, and 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast. Love you. Bye for now.